From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. You're listening through voanews.id or our application RRI Play Go. And we from the Voice of Indonesia will be bringing you more information about Indonesia. Like the first one is the news, so stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Let's begin with the national news. President Joko Widodo has urged Indonesians to get vaccinated as soon as they have the opportunity to do so and asked them not to refuse it. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, President Joko Widodo stated at the Presidential Palace in Bogor, West Java on Wednesday, that this is for all of Indonesian safety. Vaccination is the best available option at the moment. He also affirmed that if everyone works in the same direction, Indonesia can overcome the COVID-19 pandemic. The Indonesian government is targeting to vaccinate 1 million people per day in July this year as it strives to achieve herd immunity in the country. In the meantime, President Joko Widodo has also appealed to the people to strictly adhere to health protocols. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Salahuddin Uno has said that the tourism sector can revive amid the COVID-19 pandemic if all stakeholders adhere to the health protocols. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Minister Uno, while observing a business training on cluster-based tourism at super-prioritized destination Borobudur Magelang, Central Java on Wednesday, explained that all of the ministry's activities should be in accordance with the micro-scale public activity restrictions or micro-PPKM, and the ministry can only revive in the tourism if the health protocols are obeyed. As many as 61 homestays owners in Borobudur area took part in the tourism business training organized at the Village Economy Hall or Balkondes Tuksongo. He also pointed out the ministry's activities always refer to zoning and coordination with the regional administration and local task force. Minister of Women's Empowerment and Child Protection's PPPA, I Gusti Ayu Bintang Narmawati, has warned that the coronavirus pandemic has increased the risk of more children being pushed into child labor. As reported by Antaranus Agency, she said during an online discussion on the role of pentahelics in overcoming child labor on Wednesday that the issue of child labor is a serious one that threatens the fulfillment of children's rights. Child workers are at risk of dropping out of school, being neglected, and entering a situation that endanger themselves. She added that child labor threatens the growth and development of child, and the majority of child workers aged 15 to 17 are no longer in school. She also explained that child laborers are different from working children. Minister Darmawati further said that the second category of children carried out work over a short period of time outside of school time and without any element of exploitation. The Indonesian Health Ministry accentuated the necessity for adequate tuberculosis prevention therapy or TPT to eradicate the disease in the country. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, head of the Subdirectorate of Tuberculosis of the Ministry, Imran Pambudi, during a discussion at the National Tuberculosis Partnership Forum on Wednesday, explained that the number of TPT in Indonesia is quite low, never more than 10% of the target. If the therapy is not given adequately, the ministry's efforts to eliminate tuberculosis in the country will not be achieved, although the government has found and treated all patients. Pambudi also remarked that TPT is an alternative approach to eradicate tuberculosis in Indonesia, and this therapy should be applied to population at risk, including children under 5 who have close contact with active pulmonary tuberculosis patients and people with HIV/AIDS. Let's move on to the international news. U.S. President Joe Biden has unveiled a plan that includes funding more police to combat a nationwide surge in homicide, which he blamed on lax gun control. He said officials in high-crime areas can hire more law enforcement personnel using coronavirus relief funding. As reported by BBC.com, Biden's crime-fighting strategy calls for curtailing rogue gun dealers and firearms trafficking. Republicans are depicting Biden's Democrats as weak on crime amid calls by left-wingers to defund the police. Announcing his five-point strategy at the White House on Wednesday, the president urged cities and states to use $350 billion of funding from a COVID-19 relief bill on public safety efforts, including adding more police officers even beyond pre-pandemic levels. The president said that it means more police officers, more nurses, more counselors, more social workers or community violence interrupters to help resolve issues before they escalate into crimes. More than 20 Russian aircrafts and two Coast Guard ships have shadowed a British warship sailing near Crimea. As reported by BBC.com, Moscow's defense ministry said a patrol ship fired warning shots and a jet dropped bombs in the path of HMS Defender as it sailed some 12 miles off Crimea's coast. The UK's government rejected Russia's account of the incident and denied that any warning shots had been fired. A BBC correspondent on the warship said it was harassed by Russia's military. Aircraft could be heard overhead as BBC defense correspondent Jonathan Peel filed a report from the deck of HMS Defender in the Black Sea as it sailed to Georgia. He described hostile warnings over the radio as the warship's crew prepared for the possible confrontation. Foreign Minister of North Korea Ri Sung-kwon said on Wednesday that North Korea is not considering any contact with the United States that would only waste time. As reported by Reuters.com, he made his remarks after the new U.S. envoy for North Korea said in Seoul on Monday that he looked forward to a positive response soon on a dialogue from Pyongyang. North Korea's nuclear weapons program has been an intractable problem for Washington for years, and in trying to change that, President Joe Biden's new administration conducted a review of policy and said it would seek calibrated and practical ways to persuade Pyongyang to denuclearize. On Tuesday, the sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said in a statement that the United States appeared to be interpreting signals from North Korea in the wrong way. That was the news.
Thank you.
Independence in COVID-19 vaccine provision is crucial, especially if the vaccination target is yet to be achieved in Indonesia. Besides that, imported vaccine dependence will gradually destroy the national economy, which growth is not yet optimal to because of the COVID-19 pandemic. New virus variant attack can slow down not only the economy but also other sectors' performance. About the producing vaccine, the Financial Services Authority or OJK gave their full support. OJK Deputy Commissioner for Public Relations and Logistics Anto Prabowo in Jakarta on Wednesday said the vaccine acceleration is expected to create herd immunity that will support people's mobility with tight health protocol so that the economy can move again. That is considering the high COVID-19 spread and its impact against financial services, despite still properly mitigated along with the vaccination acceleration. Meanwhile, the Presidential Staff Office, KSP, answered the concern about the dependence on importing vaccines. According to the Deputy 2 of KSP, Abednego Tarigan, Indonesia is trying to be independent in producing vaccines. He ensures until now there is no vaccine producer country that dictates Indonesian government. Also, Indonesia is trying to produce their own vaccine aside from cooperating with foreign producers. Actually, Indonesia has a history and factory in producing their own vaccine. During the avian flu and SARS outbreak, Indonesia learned a lot in making vaccines. One of the national vaccine manufacturers, PT Bio Farma, is still doing researches and establishing cooperation with many sites in creating vaccines with available samples in Indonesia. Moreover, the impact from COVID-19 pandemic is estimated to last quite long according to the researchers. Therefore, Indonesia must be more keen in finding innovation in self-creating vaccines. Also, the health protocol and security apparatus firm action against violations must still be implemented so that the pandemic can end sooner.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo防ぎ masho. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei dai kou zhao. 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播，我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragen van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, today in history start with the event on June 24, 1951, when the Indonesian Midwife Association was established. On June 24, 1951, the first midwife conference was held in Jakarta. At the conference, it was agreed to establish the Indonesian Midwife Association. In 1956, the Indonesian Midwife Association was accepted as a member of the International Confederation of Midwives, ICM. June 24th is now commemorated as National Midwife Day. Next event was in 1982, about the Jakarta incident. British Airways Flight 9 flew from Heathrow, London to Auckland and stopped over in Bombay, Madras, Kuala Lumpur, Perth and Melbourne. On June 24, 1982, the plane flew into the ash cloud from the eruption of the Mount Galunggung in West Java. The ashes made the plane's engine stop operating. Then the plane was diverted to Jakarta, hoping that the engines would start and land there. This plane was able to get out of the ash cloud and restart the engine and be able to land the plane safely at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport. Nobody got hurt. The 10th event was named Jakarta Incident. This incident was raised in a series of TV air crash investigation entitled All Engines Failed. The last event was in 2002, when Igandu train accident occurred. The Igandu train accident occurred in Tanzania in the morning of June 24, 2002. It was one of the worst train accidents in African history. As it climbed a hill, the train with more than 1,200 passengers on board rolled backwards down the hill, passed two stations and crashed into a slow-moving freight train. The Tanzanian government announced that 281 people were killed in the incident. However, it was believed that the number continued to grow because there were many seriously injured. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
See the secret of my eyes.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia on voanews.id or application RRI Play Go. The next one will be by Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Minister for Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya had a bilateral meeting with the Environment Minister of Czech Republic Richard Brabec in Jakarta on Monday. In the meeting, the two ministers signed the letter of intent between Indonesia and Czech on environment protection and sustainable development cooperation. That was stated in the official statement of the Environment and Forestry Ministry received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Tuesday. In the meeting, Minister Siti Nurbaya affirmed Indonesia's government's commitment to implement global agreement on the environment. Indonesia always pays a great deal of attention to environmental issues and takes science-based action. Siti Nurbaya explained Indonesia government's commitment for the climate change control agenda is included in the Nationally Determined Contribution, or NDC. Indonesia is also committed to reducing greenhouse gas emission by 29% with national resources and reducing emission by 41% with international support by 2030. Indonesia also has finished all REDD Plus instrument, including Forest Reference Emissions Level, or FREL, Monitoring Reporting and Verification MRV, National Registry System SRN, Safeguard Information System SIS-REDD Plus, and the budgeting. Related to that, Indonesia has formed the Environment Fund Management Agency in October 2019. Waste management is also a national priority with the Presidential Decree No. 97, Year 2007, on Waste Management National Policy and Strategy. In the meeting, Czech Environment Minister Richard Brabec expressed his hope for opportunity and cooperation at various levels. That was proven by the visit of Czech delegation, including academicians, associations and business entities, especially for the plastic recycling industry. Minister Richard Brabec also hoped the bilateral relation between Indonesia and Czech in the environment and forestry can be increased to bring mutual benefit for the two countries.
Take it or leave it, cause it's once in a lifetime. So tired of frowning. You're no healer, and you think that I need you. You can't keep me from falling. I'm too scared to admit it, but I'm so close to the limit. I'm never gonna be
Listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. For example, it is an information about Indonesian tourism or maybe the local wisdom of Indonesian people. Next, Indonesian Wonder.
On June 13, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno visited the tourism village of Maria in Wawo District, Bima Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. There, he took a close look at the tourism attraction of the Uma Lenge and Jompa traditional houses, which are the cultural heritage of the Bima people. In that area, there are 13 Uma Lenges and 103 Jompas belonging to the local people. Minister Uno also said that the cultural tourism attraction of Uma Lenge is very rare. He considered that the Uma Lenge has high historical value because it is a cultural heritage site from the ancestors of the Mbojo tribe. For today's edition for Indonesian Wonder, I'm going to introduce you to Uma Lenge traditional house. Head of the Traditional Village Institute, Maria Village, Muhammad Hasan bin Haji Abu Bakar said that Uma Lenge and Jompa are houses used to store all harvests ranging from rice, corn, and many others. These two types of buildings have existed since 500 years ago during the Dutch colonial era. In the local language, Uma means house, while Lenge means triangle or conical. Uma Lenge and Jompa are distinguished by their shape and roof. Uma Lenge is conical in shape, with walls and roof made of reeds. Meanwhile, Jompa is shaped like a house with no walls and roof made of tin or tile. The size is almost the same as 2.5 meters by 2.5 meters or 3 by 3 meters. Uma Lenge serves as a place to store agricultural products. There are many kinds of products such as rice, sorghum, millet, and corn. Some of the grains are hung and some are stored in shack. Uma Lenge was built with a certain shape to avoid wild animals and to stay strong during an earthquake. Hasan Abu Bakar also explained that there is a separate philosophy in the Uma Lenge tradition. It is also taboo for the local people to take food from there more than twice a week. He revealed that this philosophy teaches the local residents to be more economical.
Tak berubah kini punya cinta yang ter-
Listener, the next one will be an information about Indonesia. Well, mostly it's about innovation. The next one is miscellany.
Listeners, on June 7, the Ministry of Media and Information met with BEM Universitas Airlangga Unair Surabaya launched an ASA Unair application offline in the Amerta Hall Rectorate Building Campus C. ASA Unair is an acronym for Aplikasi Bersama AREC Unair. According to the Minister of MedInfo, BEM Unair, Rahmat Bayu, this application was created to answer the concerns of students at Unair as well as to realize ideas related to making applications. Unair students are confused about how to carry out their organizational activities during online lectures. Rahmat further stated that ASA Unair application features the form of scholarships, internships, job opportunities, academic information, information of Ormawa or student organization, as well as the marketplace. Besides facilitating, the ASA Unair application is also able to assist students in developing and establishing collaborations related to projects. This application also displays academic information such as scientific projects and scientific works of Unair students. While for the Ormawa feature, students can describe their work program or promote their organization. As for promotion, Rahmat added, the marketplace feature is intended for students who have businesses or are starting a business so that they can promote their business at ASA Unair. Thereby, this application not only displays information but also provides a profitable and facilitated bonus for students and registers for ASA Unair. Rahmat also said that currently the ASA Unair application can be downloaded on the Play Store for Android users. As for iPhone users, this application is still projected in the future so that all students both using Android and iOS can enjoy as the on-air features. That's Miss Seleni.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku ocakuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata o mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa awintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom besmetting, overdraging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinderen Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Mijn masker schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
We have been giving you so many information and also so many songs from Indonesia. The next one will be a song, but there's a little bit information about it. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener Voice of Indonesia. Today I'm going to present to you a song entitled Hasrat dan Cinta, sung by Andi Mary Matalata. The song Hasrat dan Cinta, composed by Indonesian musician Faris RM, is included in the album entitled Bahtera Asmara. The song was released in 1979. Hasrat dan Cinta describes a relationship between humans and God. Humans, as his creatures, will always need his help. Listener, here is Hasrat dan Cinta by Andi Maryam Matalata.
Kala sinar cahaya pelita di hamparan padang hidup manusia, kau biarkan tanganmu terbuka menjabat penuh ramah di dalam danda harap dan cita. Bila gelap berselimut ceria lingkaran temaram hidup yang nyata, tercipta kubah nistaka, penuh nista dan dusta di bawah kepalsuan yang ada. Ku ingin semua kan terhapus membawa
kata
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Awan bahagia. Darat terperi danian, derap jiwaku tak kenal duka derita, tak kenal nestapa, ceria bagi pesona. Tiba-tiba ku tertegun, hatiku tersentuh, perahu kecil terayun melayang tua di sana. Tiga malam bulan telah menghilang, langit sepi walau tak memegang. Tiba-tiba ku sadari lagu burung camar tadi cuma kisah sedih nada duka. Camar tinggi melayang bersahutan di balik awan, kini membawa anganku yang tadi melayang jatuh di kaki-kakiku.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.